Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Thomas.
And I'm Natalie. Today on the show, hate crime.
Avon and Somerset Police will be here in the studio to talk about it.
And Tara Hudson.
Ivan reports from the rally that took place on Friday.
All coming today right here on Shout Out.
Hello, one and all.
Hello.
Hello, Mitch.
Hello.
Hello, Steph. No, not Steph, Nat. Why do I always do that?
Oh, my
goodness.
I
don't know.
Natalie, you don't look anything like Steph.
I wonder if Steph's listening.
Yeah.
She's on holiday at the moment.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
You're individuals. Yeah.
So, happy Halloween. No, not Halloween. What are we now? Bonfire. Yeah. Guy Fawkes.
Yeah,
We should call it Guy Fawkes Night, really, shouldn't we?
Halloween was last week when me and Mitch were partying.
We were dressed up at a gala ball.
Was it
dancing
fun?
Dancing the night away. Yeah, it was actually. It was nice.
Anyone else see fireworks at all?
There is fireworks tonight, but they're more happening over the weekend, actually, which I will talk to you about.
Is that what's coming up? Okay, cool. Because I know the close place near where I work, Portland Square, because I've got one going on tonight. So, my poor old dog hates it, though.
Oh, dogs and animals. keep them in, kids, because, you know, they don't like the loud bangs, do they?
No, it scares them, poor things.
Yeah, and I've sort of feel that the big displays are good, but, you know, letting them off at home, it's had its bit. And interestingly enough, I watched a programme where right here at the City Academy, they had some old film from the 1960s.
Oh.
And all they had was all the local kids building this huge bonfire.
They don't tend to do that so much these days, do they?
That's what we used to do when we were kids, you know, and we'd be just using the local green. And everybody would just throw in, you know, and then you'd sort of like stand.
But then you'd have like 3 days of fog afterwards, do you remember? Yeah. it was like last week. It was really foggy last weekend, wasn't it?
It was. So now
I've got some other news for you this week.
Oh, good.
Shout Out's brand new website is live.
Hooray!
At long last. It's only been a year in the making. But it's got some really cool features because, you know, like normally, like if people want their event listed on the site, they have to email in and we have to type it all out. You can now put it on yourself.
Brilliant.
So anyone,
what, is that anyone?
Anyone can post an event. Now, they are all moderated, obviously, so you can't post nasty ones. Anyone that's organising an event, if you go to shoutoutradio.lgbt, which is its new home, and then click on events at the top, you'll see there's a button about halfway down that says add your event, and you just fill out the form, and hey presto, it'll appear as soon as we can get it on there.
So it's actually no trouble at all, is it?
No, it's really easy to do, actually. It's really cool. So we're just kind of moving all the news and the like across from the old site. It's nice to be got LGBT as well. Flying the flag type thing.
When did that one come along?
It's been out for a little while.
Right.
Pink News hit the news, ironically. Last year, I think it was, as one of the first to actually adopt the .LGBT extension. It's been around for a while. So we actually bought one last year and kind of held on to it so that we could do it with the launch of the new website, which is quite cool. So shoutoutradio.lgbt is our new home.
Yes.
So it's quite cool.
So go and have a look.
Yeah. So go and have a look.
Yeah, it's not bad. If you go to the wrong one, it does take you to the new one.
So that's all right. You know, sometimes I know people find it difficult actually using the term, don't they, when they do searches and things, but if it just transfers you over. Then
yeah, you can type the old one in and it'll move you across.
Great. That's great.
So, anyway, now talking of events, let me kick off your jingle. So So then, Mitch.
I know.
It's nice that we've had you do events yet.
I haven't done an out shout since the jingle's been in place. So it's very interesting.
Oh. Yeah. So what out shout have you got for us this week then?
Away. Well, you were talking about Bonfire Night. So there's Bristol Zoo's family friendly fireworks is tonight, tomorrow and Saturday.
Oh.
Doors open at 5 p.m. and displays is probably around 5 to 6 o'clock.
Of course, so it's dark by then, isn't it?
It is dark by then.
Keep forgetting
and,
that.
I mean, you can go on to the 24/7 Bristol What's On, and you'll find all the firework displays on that website there. A shout out to all those heading over to the Polish Club tonight to see Mae Martin. Now, she's a stand-up comedian, she's actually, you know, really, really funny. I'm not sure
helps
how...
Helps if you're a comedian, you know, if you're funny.
It does, yes. And she's playing...
Have you seen her before?
Yes.
You have?
We've Short and Girlies have performed with her. So, you know, our big festival called Out in the Park a couple of years ago. So, yes, Mae Martin is at the Black Hole Comedy at the Polish Club. Did I say the Polish Club?
Yes, you did.
I did. So I'm just repeating myself. So that's £7 for the whole evening's entertainment. You've got another opening act, Matt Ewins, as well, and they'll be there from 7 onwards. And a shout out to Indigo.
Oh, is that on
Indigo
tonight?
Indigo Night's on tonight, yes.
Prosecco Night.
Prosecco Night at Indigo. And that's at Goldbrick House, as usual. I don't want to say the C word, but Bristol, yes. The lights are getting switched on tomorrow.
Are they?
In Broadmead, Bristol Shopping Centre.
Gosh, that's early, isn't it?
Yes,
it's
I know.
It's November.
Yes,
I
just tell me about it.
The amount of money the accounts could save if they left it till December.
Yeah, well, I'm just the messenger, don't shoot me.
I don't think Cribbs Causeway is doing its
they are.
Switch on until
they
the 25th of November.
They've
they
already got their ice rink out there.
Yes.
And the one of the
It's lovely, the kids love it with all the big fairy castle and the like.
It's
don't
great,
it?
Actually. Oh, and it'll be Frozen theme, I guess.
And the ice rink's really good.
The ice rink's brilliant.
I can't remember last time I went ice skating.
It's such good fun.
Is it?
It's such good fun, yeah.
Because the ice rink's gone now, hasn't it?
Yes. So, the other thing is, last chance to join in the fun with the Bristol Girls Can Glitter Run. Now, Bristol Girls Can.
Glitter Run?
It's a glitter run. It's promoting an inspiring campaign for women to get more active and enjoy exercise. So there's 1 week left to register for Bristol Girls Can Glitter Run, and it takes place at Lockleys Open Space, Stoke Park Estate, from 11 a.m. on Sunday the 15th of November. So the course comprises of a 1 and 2 mile loop, and participants can either run, jog or walk any distance between 1 and 6 miles. All women, regardless of age, ability, shape or size, are being invited to take part in the free event to help celebrate the Bristol Girls Can campaign.
And that's one of the big things about a campaign, isn't it?
Yes.
It's to encourage people who might be a bit self-conscious about their body image.
Yes.
Oh, right.
So it's just, you know, bring your mum, daughter, auntie, grandma, friends and join in the fun. It's a wonderful event. And it makes a great opportunity to use the green spaces that we've got in Bristol that people might not know about.
Cool. And I guess we ought to say happy Pride to all the leather guys as well, because it's Leather Pride. It's UK Leather Pride in Bristol this weekend.
Oh,
going on all over the weekend. So if you're here with all your leather kit, enjoy yourself.
Yes.
All kicks off tomorrow, and it's kind of there's loads of events all over the weekend, I believe. So
hopefully the weather's going to be sort of reasonable, because obviously if it's raining,
it's not the best.
So, luckily, I think most of the events are in Old Market, so you're kind of in the kind of that area. So
yes.
So which is cool. Cool. Thank you very much, Mitch.
Okay, you're welcome.
Hi, I'm Adele from Fascinating Aida, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
That's Girly Man and St. Augustine. That's a really nice one. Mary put
that's
that one.
That's really nice, relaxing, restful. I can imagine being sat there on an evening, nice, nice, you know, glass of wine,
Prosecco.
Prosecco, yeah.
So now,
champagne, darling.
But you need to be on best behaviour at the moment, because for once we have a certain person in uniform in with us. But it's a very nice subject that we're talking about. Welcome to Shout Outs to, I believe it's Sergeant, isn't it? Is it Sergeant? Helen Riddell.
Yes, hello. Hi.
Hi. Now, you've come in to talk to us about it, because we should explain, you're the LGBT liaison officer, aren't you?
Well, I'm one of them. There's a team of us, yes.
Oh, right, cool. Now, give us an idea, what does that mean? Is there lots of different liaison officers for different things? Is that how it works? Is it...
No. Within the force, it was recognised that it would be very useful for the community to have some dedicated resources and officers that they could speak to.
Right.
And there had been various incarnations of LGBT liaison teams, but most recently, when we had a diversity unit at the force, the staff there, in particular, Annabelle Armstrong-Walters, who used to... arrange the diversity unit outreach work, invited applications for officers who were keen to be involved in LGBT work to come forward. So that was how the team started in its present incarnation about 5 years ago now.
Wow, it's been 5 years. Gosh, yeah. It's amazing how things move on, isn't it?
I know they've attended all the prides.
yes. In fact, wasn't it with the lovely coloured, what do you call them?
The epaulettes. Yeah. Yes. That was last year, yeah.
Yeah, they did look very good, I have to admit.
No.
So. Now, you've come in to talk to us about one thing in particular, which is obviously the issue of hate crime, which is never something that's particularly nice to talk about, but unfortunately is a fact of life. Yeah. One of the first questions, I guess, that springs to mind, though, is what classes something as a hate crime?
Oh, right, okay. Well, what we do is, when it comes to reported crime, is that if an allegation is aggravated by motivation of any what we call strand of protected characteristics. I know that sounds a bit wordy, but under the Equalities Act, certain categories were designated as protected characteristics, and that is age, disability, gender, race and religion, homophobia, transphobia, And did I say gender? Sorry.
You did.
Yeah. And these characteristics are protected.
Yeah. Right. Religion as well.
Yes, race and religion, yeah. And when a crime is motivated by an antagonism towards somebody based on them belonging, or it's assumed that they belong to any of those groups, then it becomes what's called a hate incident in the eyes of the police.
Right. But, I mean, the issue's always been there. When you're, like, a normal member of the public, I mean, I'm hoping a lot of the younger generations probably don't experience. I am of the generation that does remember walking down the street and having things, you know, shouted at me just because I'm gay.
Yes.
But certainly, I know things have moved on now, and this is the whole point of it. But, you know, you get things every now and again that happen. At what point should it be that you report it? If someone just walks past and says, you know, you perf or something like that, is that worthy of reporting, or is it got to be something that's a bit more serious?
No, I think any incident that makes you feel uncomfortable and makes you feel, you know, personally threatened in any way, we should know about. It's not about thinking, oh, I'm going to report it to the police because I want that person arrested because they said that word. There is a whole raft of ways that we can approach dealing with that in a positive way. But certainly, if there is persistent abuse coming from a particular individual or from a particular premises, then it's important that we know where that's happening so that we can challenge that.
Right.
And okay. I would encourage people. We do often hear comments from members of the public, friends who say, well, if I phoned the police every time somebody called me, you know, a derogatory name, I'd never be off the phone. But what I'm saying is, if we don't have useful, credible information of where things are happening, we can't put patrols to those areas to try and educate people.
So are you kind of saying it's when it gets to the level where it's blatant disrespectfulness of someone else's feelings, and
so if you're uncomfortable, I think.
Yeah, and sort of violating their sort of, well, comfort zone,
of course,
said.
And if it's persistent, then of course it starts to become harassment in the, you know, in the eyes of the legislation.
So now I'm guessing we should also point out, if it is serious, as in, you know, it's actually physical, the first thing you should probably do is just dial 999.
Yes, any time when a situation becomes physical, yes, you know, you need help. Yes, of course.
So in a worst case scenario, say it is something that's, you know, for example, you know, escalated into actual violence, what should you expect if you're coming forward to the police to report it? Is it, you know, something that you can talk to someone about after? Because it can be quite a traumatic experience.
Of course, yeah. I mean, if someone were to dial 999, obviously there are the response officers are probably the first people who are going to come to your aid. Although we do have several LGBT liaison officers who are part of response policing, obviously we couldn't guarantee that one of those would be on duty at the time, but you would get the, you know, a response from a, you know, professional police officer. And then as and when you would like to speak to somebody perhaps who you feel would understand your circumstances better, then of course, you know, we would step in and help with that.
Okay. On the statistics, you know, is hate crime generally falling? Is it, you know, is it getting better statistically?
Well, I would say.
Or is it because people are reporting more?
Yes,
it's going up.
Yeah. I would always welcome a rise in figures. What I wouldn't welcome is a decrease in detections. And what I would say is we need to know where things are happening, and we need to encourage that confidence in the community to come to the police. But what we also seek to do is to identify those people responsible and deal with that in the best way.
Okay, so you're saying that sort of people feel more comfortable now reporting than they did, say, 10 years ago?
I think there's definitely been an improvement. If you look at the Stonewall hate crime surveys and figures, our liaison team was actually quoted in the publication the year before last, our liaison team as being a real stepping stone for the community. And also, I'm very pleased to say that we have had an increase in reported crime from trans people in the force, which is... In no small part due to the efforts that we've made to encourage the trans community to trust the police.
Yeah, it is an unfortunate thing in that the trans community quite often still feels that they're open to a lot of abuse and discrimination.
Yes, and that's true. Yes, I can agree with you there.
So we're, you know, still behind on the LGBT. And bees.
Yeah, well, I mean, although we should point out, things are progressing all the time, and they are getting better. 20 years ago, we'd have probably not even had an LGBT radio show, let alone had an LGBT liaison officer. So it is good that things are going in the right direction. Now, one of the things I really wanted to ask is, if it's not so serious that you're picking up the phone and dialing 999, can you still just walk into a police station and ask to speak to someone?
Of course, yeah. I mean, the force is trying to make reporting accessible in as many ways as possible and moving with the times, you know, technologically. You can go online on the force website. You can come into the police station if that's convenient. You can get in contact with the LGBT liaison team. We'll have an email address that I can read out at the end. We've got Twitter, and whilst Twitter isn't for reporting crime, at least you could make an initial message to us and then we could get back to you.
I will admit, you are very active on Twitter.
Yes.
yes, some of our team are more active than others. But, yeah.
So, well, it's good that things are moving on an awful lot. So, I mean, do you know what the plan is over the next few years? Is it something as a service that's likely to grow, especially if reporting is going up?
Yeah, I think interestingly that the issue the problem that I'm up against really is demonstrating a need for more resources. And if I can't demonstrate a need in today's financial climate, if I can't demonstrate a need, it's going to be very difficult to justify allocating resources. And obviously, within the workforce, even the way people choose to identify is a completely personal thing to them. But it's very hard to capture the amount of statistics. It's like if sometimes the media says, well, how many gay people are there in our community? And people say 15%, some people say 20%, but it's very hard for me within the police to justify asking for resources when I can't actually demonstrate the amount of gay, bi and trans people we have in the police force.
Yeah, Stonewall will agree with you on that, because in consultation with them, they do say that there is people are reluctant to let the company HR department know. It's none of their business.
But then is there not... I'm sure I've had somebody through the door asking if I was gay or straight as a statistic.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
What, from the census,
you mean? Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a statistic that was collected. They do ask you and you can answer anonymously and so that they get an idea. Am I barking up the wrong tree here?
There are diversity questionnaires which are sent out for certain things, yeah.
Right. I think within the police we have a statistical monitoring so that we comply with the Equalities Act, and you are invited to categorise yourself, I suppose, is the best way to describe it, around your sexuality or your orientation. And obviously not everybody would choose to do that or see the reason why, but it is very important that whenever you're asked to fill out a monitoring form, you know, have the confidence to be, you know, to raise those statistics.
No, we're talking about that. Obviously, we should point out if you're coming forward because of a crime or something, it's talking to a police officer at that point is going to be confidential, I presume. It's not.
It is completely, yes.
That's not about the statistics, is it? That's about getting the help and the support. So.
Yeah.
That's right, yes. And, I mean, all police officers are trained to give a professional response, but I would just say that if you would rather speak to an LGBT officer, one of us, I'm sure... one of the sort of 20 or so of us that are there would be somebody available, certainly if not to speak to you straight away, to get back to you within a few hours or the next day.
Cool. Just because of our broadcast area is quite wide, we obviously broadcast down on GFM in Glastonbury as well. Is that a similar kind of situation down there? Do you know? I know it's not your force, but do they have liaison officers? Is that something that's common across?
Well, Glastonbury certainly is within Avon and Somerset's remit.
Right.
I know that surrounding forces, Devon and Cornwall, Wiltshire, Gloucestershire, they also have LGBT liaison officers. We're part of a national network. So there is always all forces have that option for you should you need it. But yes, Glastonbury's one of ours. Yeah.
Cool.
Did you know Glastonbury was in Somerset?
Well, I'm assuming Helen doesn't actually work down there. Was more what I meant. So I didn't know whether you knew who was down there or not. Was more my point. So, but no, it's good to know that there's more down there.
I know, and I think it's really really good because you're. Avon and Somerset Police are coming forward and saying, look, you know, we're looking into, we've got a support group for LGBT issues. We've got people that really understand and, you know, can help if you've got a problem. I think it will actually be very good in helping people feel confident and in asking for help if they need to.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I'm sure my other half won't mind me talking about it. We have had a situation where we had to have the police involved, and it was effectively a gay hate crime. And if anyone is the older generations that will remember when the police forces perhaps weren't quite so nice, because especially when it was illegal, we've all seen the films about Alan Turing and the like, where he was quite heavily persecuted. Things have changed a lot. And certainly our experience, which was over 5 years ago now, was a very, very positive one. They were very helpful indeed. So, and of course, it now sounds like you've grown a team inside, because I don't remember there being LGBT officers or liaison officers 5-10 years ago.
No, not officially. No, I'm sure, but there have always been officers who've worked very hard in the community. But no, not specifically LGBT liaison. No.
So, where's the best place that we can point people if they want to find out a bit more? Perhaps if they've got questions about what they've experienced and want to know whether it's hate crime or not. Is there a website they can go to and have a look? Or
certainly, yeah. If you would like to look at the force website, that gives you information. So that's Avon and Somerset Police website, official website. Then, of course, there are independent sites such as True Vision, which is supported by the police forces across the country. And there is an app you can get if you have a phone that takes apps. Of the True Vision, which gives you a reporting facility, so you could be anywhere in the country, you witness something or perhaps you're a victim of something, and you go onto the app and you can give details without obviously having to hang around and wait if that isn't convenient for you at the time. But at least we capture that incident and someone can follow that up for you.
Oh, that might be worth having in Old Market for the old car that drives past and shouts abuse at you.
Well, it might have been worth putting that poster of those details up in some of the pubs in Old Market.
Yeah, that's true.
Certainly. I mean, we, in conjunction with Bristol Hate Crime Services, we carry out what they have a little nickname for it. They call it a zap. Like, when are we going to do the next zap? And we staff from Bristol Hate Crime Services, which incorporates a dedicated caseworker for LGBT from LGBT Bristol. We go out into the venues, although I do appreciate that many people don't associate with the scene, but we do go out to the venues in uniform, and we do hand out cards, make ourselves available for people. So,
yeah. And we are quite lucky. The scene is quite diverse. I mean, we have places like the bookshop that is a classic example of somewhere that isn't a club that is very pro-LGBT, that has a lot of information. So if you're not the clubby, pubby type of person, there are places you can go and get it. And, of course, Shout Out's own website has a raft of information on it as well. So we'll make sure we put all the links up about what we've been talking about.
Yeah, thank you. And we have a dedicated email inbox, lgbtliaison@avonandsomerset.police.uk as well. Obviously, that shouldn't be used for, you know, serious emergencies, but anything where you have a query and you can wait a day or so for us to get back to you, then use that facility.
Brilliant, cool. Well, listen, it's lovely to catch up with you, and it's brilliant to hear about all the services that are going on.
Thank you.
And we must make sure that we stay in contact and catch up with you in a year or two and see how things have changed, because I'm sure they will with time.
Hopefully
in a positive way. Let's be good about it. But for now, thank you very much for coming to join us.
Thank you. It's been lovely to be asked. Thank you.
Now, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back with your news headlines in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. The lovely John Legend and All of Me. It's a lovely.
You're playing some nice, relaxed, restful music tonight. Yeah. Is it you're more restful because Steph's not around?
I've got
a romantic mood, aren't you? I can tell.
Well, it was because the number one this week is Adele, and it's a lovely slow song. So I picked a few, and the last one, of course, Mary picked.
Okay.
Which is a very nice song.
It's very nice.
Although I have the next one's a bit of a faster one. And sorry, Ivan, it's Pentatonix track, the next one.
Don't apologise. I like them in small doses.
Well, they've been quite quiet for a while.
They have, haven't they?
Anyway, talking of not being quiet, news team are in. So let's get some news headlines.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 5th of November.
33-year-old Ben Smith is now some months into his Challenge 401, under which he's aiming to run 401 marathons in as many days for Stonewall and anti-bullying campaigns generally. He's even running on Christmas Day. We spoke to Ben on this programme when he challenged a local community radio crowd to join him next October when he finishes his mammoth effort. Meanwhile, a positive and supportive article appeared in last Friday's edition of the local newspaper Bristol Post. The Post said that Ben was waiting for confirmation from the Guinness Book of World Records that the first of his world record attempts had fallen and that he's run the most marathons in consecutive days.
Well, you may have seen it over the weekend that local news sources like Made in Bristol TV, BBC Points West and ITV West News all covered the continuing case of Tara Hudson, a young trans woman being held in an all-male prison because she did not have the usual documentation associated with gender confirmation. Well, Kerry Caramel, who organised the hugely successful petition to have Tara held somewhere appropriate to her gender, has been in touch with all the supporters. Kerry says, "We did it. As of Friday afternoon, Tara has been moved to a women's prison." Emily Senft, a trans woman involved in the highly public campaign to have Tara moved, added, "The support brought about by this campaign has been nothing short of overwhelming. We have shown the trans community that there are people who care and that despite whatever injustice life may throw at us, there are people who have our back."
The Jewish Chronicle newspaper reports that the Home Office has banned a 24-year-old neo-Nazi from visiting the United Kingdom. Matthew Hiembach is listed by the Anti-Defamation League as anti-Semitic, homophobic and a white supremacist. He's been involved in organising extreme white ring activity for some years, and the Home Office has been congratulated by the Jewish-led Community Trust for preventing him from entering the country from his native United States.
The lesbian and gay Christian movement, which represents the largest group of LGBT Christians in and outside the Church of England, has issued a cordial invite to supporters to join them for their annual carol service. The service takes place at a location on Shaftesbury Avenue in central London on Saturday the 12th of December. Visit the LGCM website for full information. Just Google lesbian and gay Christian movement.
On Wednesday evening, the Human Rights Campaign in Washington reported that an anti-LGBT activist in Texas succeeded in rolling back crucial non-discrimination protections in Houston, one of the most vibrant and diverse cities in America. As a result of a plebiscite election, Houston is now the largest city in the United States without these local protections for lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender people, women, minorities, veterans and many others.
The petition website AllOut.org has launched an interactive game online. The Illegal Love Quiz will take you on a world tour of the fight for equality. You'll learn more about the biggest crises the world is facing, so you can be on the lookout and ready to take action. All Out say, as the old saying goes, knowledge is power, so let's beef up our collective power by getting down to the facts. Visit our website for a link to the interactive quiz.
A gay clergyman prevented from taking up a post at a hospital as a hospital chaplain was not discriminated against, an employment tribunal panel has ruled. The BBC reports that Canon Jeremy Pemberton, who had married his partner last year, had argued that the Church of England's stance on same-sex marriage breached the 2010 Equality Act. It came after his permission to officiate was revoked after marrying his partner in April 2014. The BBC religious affairs correspondent, Catherine Wyatt, said at least one other vicar has married his same-sex partner but has not lost his permission to officiate. Each diocese deals with its clergy individually, giving bishops some discretion in how to handle the issue.
Writing at the media website Digital Spy, Luke Johnson says that the proposed investigatory powers bill, up for discussion by Parliament, will remove any sense of internet privacy. He says, your social media, online shopping and porn viewing habits will soon be available to the state. Now, libertarian, techno-rights and LGBT campaign groups have expressed some concern that new investigatory powers might be used to harass gay people and those into, for example, S&M sexuality.
And finally, Matt Lucas, the gay comedian behind many catchphrases popularised on the Little Britain series, has explained where Vicky Pollard, the West Country urban woman, came from. Lucas was speaking on an upcoming edition of the light-hearted discussion show, Alan Davis, as yet untitled, which airs on Dave TV. An exclusive excerpt from the show is available online, and we've linked to it via our website. Go have a look and see how the iconic character came about.
For these news stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Ivan Jackson
and Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Hello, I'm Dolly Rocket. A big shout out to Shout Out. Thank you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
As we said, how nice and relaxed it all was. And then you do that.
So that's for their brand new album that's come out. Yeah, those that are regular listeners will know I'm a big fan of the Pentatonix.
Really?
So, yes.
It's very good.
You really be,
I thought they were singing about bananas.
Although, looking at the title, you'd think it might go na 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 na.
Ivan, this is your piece, this one, isn't it?
Yes,
where were you on Friday, by any chance?
Well, I was down in Bristol City Centre.
Oh.
Gender's not a piece of paper. Gender's not a piece of paper.
I'm outside Bristol Crown Court, where there's a support rally for the appeal for Tara Hudson. She's a transgender female, and she's currently being held in a men's prison in Bristol.
Gender's not a piece of...
Now, I'm here with Emily from the Bath Gender Equality Network. Emily, why have you come all the way over from Bath today to be outside here at the Crown Court?
We've come over to show our support for Tara and her case and for trans people in general, just to show that there are people out there behind you and people who care. If there is injustice like there is here, we will challenge that.
What kind of result are you hoping for today at the appeal?
We're mainly hoping that she comes out of the all-male prison, whether that involves her going to an all-women's prison or coming out on a tag.
Now, we've literally just heard that Tara at the Crown Court here is being held in the female cells, so that sounds like a fairly good sign, doesn't it?
It sounds hopeful, and they're also referring to her as a woman in court, which is also a massive show of respect and also bodes well.
I'm with Lex now. Lex, you've also come over from Bath today. Why did you think it was important that you should be here?
I think it's absolutely abhorrent that a woman is being placed in a men's prison. Trans women are more at risk of violence in the community at large and in prisons. Tara's already receiving harassment within the men's prison for a 12-week sentence. Who knows what that could do to her? This isn't just an isolated case. So many trans women are placed into men's prisons at considerable risk to themselves and to the system that does that to them. Okay. We want not only for Tara to get out, but to set a precedent that trans women are not placed in men's prisons.
Also outside the court, I've got Frances here with me. You've come down on your own. You're not part of any of the groups, major groups here, are you?
No, I've just come down with one of my housemates to support it. Yeah.
So why do you think it's important to be here?
I think that in institutions like prisons, the state kind of pushes down kind of oppressive ideas of gender, and it really gets used as a system for enforcing gender roles and cisnormativity. This is a very tangible example of this. I mean, being in prison is terrible at the best of times, but let alone when you're in one which doesn't actually match your gender.
So do you think after all of this some good will come out of all this publicity?
I hope so. I mean, at the very least, hopefully it's got the message out of kind of the violence that is done to trans people by putting us in these kind of non-congruent environments.
That's fantastic. Well, thanks for your opinion, Frances. Thanks for talking to me.
Thanks for being here.
Darren Carter from Bristol Pride. You're down here at the Crown Court too.
I am, yes. Yeah.
So why has Bristol Pride joined in with this rally today?
I just think it's really important. Great opportunity for us to use some of the publicity, I guess, that we get for Bristol Pride to raise awareness of a member of our LGBT community. And I think it's really important for us to remember that's what Pride is about. We represent everyone in the community. And I think it's really important for us to be here today.
There's a petition out there with about 120,000 signatories on there at the moment. Do you think that will go a long way to change regulation within the UK as far as gender recognition is concerned?
I really hope so. I think it's been absolutely amazing to see the response that's come forward in such a short space of time. We were there tweeting away on Monday, a couple of thousand people in the space of 12 hours. And then all of a sudden, by the end of the week, yeah, hundreds of thousands. And I think it's absolutely amazing. And I think it just shows the public's feeling about this, and it's not just the LGBT community that have gotten on board. People from all over are calling for common sense really to be seen.
What would be the ideal turnout to the situation today for you?
The ideal thing and the reason why we're here is primarily it's for Tara's well-being and for her safety. And I think, you know, if she does still need to continue to serve a custodial sentence, it needs to be in a women's prison. I think that would be the outcome today. If they decide that she's released on tag, well, that would be a great thing as well. But, yeah, if she does need to stay in prison, it needs to be a women's prison.
So I guess at the end of the day, the word is about equality and treating somebody equally.
That's right. Tara is a woman, and why are we not treating her as a woman? And I think that's the real question here, and I think it's exposed the shocking inequality that exists for the trans community.
I'm with Jenny from Cottam. You've just come from up the road, so why do you think it's important to be here today, Jenny?
Well, I think it's important to support Tara. As a woman, shouldn't be in a man's prison.
Do you think there'll be a positive result today? What are you hoping for?
Well, with a petition that's reached over 100,000, I think there's a lot of people that are wishing her well, and there's Ben Howlett, her MP, is on the case. So, yeah, I think this should be a good result.
Now, I'm talking to Kim. You're outside the court too. Kim, why are you here?
I'm here today because I'm supporting Tara. It's unjust what's happening here today. She's actually detained in a male prison, and although she identifies as a female. This happened actually last year in Canada with a case with Avery Edison, and she was detained for 17 days in a Toronto prison. When someone identifies as a certain gender, we have to take that seriously, and it would just be really awkward and also terrifying for them to be in a different prison.
I understand she's actually having some harassment at the moment in a male prison.
Yeah, that's really upsetting. And that's, of course, what you think would happen. I mean, if you put a woman in a male prison, what do you think is going to happen? This is a woman. Tara is a woman, and she identifies as a woman. If you see a picture of her, if you see any of her ID, this is who she identified for her whole life. And why should we tell her what gender she is?
And, of course, things have moved on a little bit since then, and she has been moved to a different prison. So we'll catch up with Ivan in just a sec and fill you in on everything that's been going on. So.
Hello, you're listening to Zoe Lyons, and you are listening to Shout Out Radio.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
It's number one. That's Adele with Hello. I'm going to talk over the air because we're running out of show, and... I wanted to catch up on a few things. So you're listening to Shout Out on BCFM 93.2, Glastonbury FM 107.1, BSR 103.4, Pirate Nation Radio, and a Bass Radio. Oh, that's a mouthful. Isn't
that's
it,
a lot, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. So now, Ivan, tell me. I think we covered it in a lot of depth in the news as well.
Yeah,
we
did. Yeah. I mean,
Tara has been moved.
She is. She's now up at Eastwood Park, which is an all-female prison. For some reason, they've been describing the institutions as all male or all female. As far as I know, we don't have mixed prisons, do we, in this country? But anyway, she's now in a place appropriate for her gender identity, yeah, which is great. And Natalie, you wanted to say something about the that wonderful petition, didn't you?
Yeah, on the petition, yeah. I'd like to say a big thank you from everyone on the Shout Out team and everyone sort of from Pride Bristol, and well done to everyone for seeing sense, filling in the petition. Over 120,000 people.
Well, it's not for us, it's for Tara.
For Tara, yeah, but you know, thank you for being the sensible people you are.
And there's a wider context, of course, because this, of course, puts the whole thing about transgender rights into the spotlight as well. So that's hopefully done. This will give the UK government a good kick in an appropriate place in order to get things changed.
Yes, fingers crossed. You never know. So I think it's going to have to happen, isn't it? They're going to have to. You know, because it should be about what you identify as, not
absolutely.
Well, but basically,
although within reason, I mean, you don't want a normal someone who's not trans just doing it to get in the other prison. That would be even worse, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but basically, all she was short of was filling in one form.
Yes.
I think that it will. I think discretion can be used, can't it?
Yeah.
So people know that someone who identifies as one gender can go to a gender-appropriate prison.
Yep.
That's what the argument's been
discretion
about.
Discretion or common sense in this case.
Common sense, Natalie.
You do want
But if you're not in prison, though, you can have a new trans beer.
Yes, transgender beer, thanks to BrewDog, who have been quite controversial in the past because they made a rather sexist ad. But anyway, what's it called? I can't remember what it's called now.
As we were saying, if you want to find out more about us or Grab a Park podcast,
it's all on our new home of shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Wonderful. .lgbt. How
fantastic.
Cool is that? So go check it out. It's really cool. It works. Shiny. Works. It works. Yeah, brilliant. So anyway, from myself and the team, we'll be back next week live from 7. As always, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.